Albany, Schenectady, and Troy. Breathing Lights looks to transform abandoned structures from pockets of shadows into places of warmth. We will learn more about this in our segment this morning. Concentrated in neighborhoods with high levels of vacancy, Breathing Lights was a winner of the Bloomberg Philanthropies. Am I right on that? Mm-hmm. Philanthropies Public Art Challenge, which engages mayors to collaborate with artists on developing innovative public art projects that enrich communities and attract visitors. Even after the closure, there will be months of programming and events to continue the conversation surrounding many issues, which we will discuss this morning. To tell us more, we welcome the project architect, Barb Nelson. Barb, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
We also have lead artist, Adam Fralin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adam. And Judy Gilmore is here, the project director. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
All right. Barb, let us start with you. How did this all come about?
Well, there was a public art challenge came out from the Bloomberg Philanthropies, and our regional alliance for creative economy here in the capital region convinced our three mayors of our three cities to pool resources together and apply for the program. So, short story, Adam and I came forth with a proposal that we called Breathing Lights.
Okay, so the idea then, the proposal was to do what?
Was to highlight and kind of crank up the volume on the discussion, the issues of disinvestment in our communities, and also to present just a really beautiful, compelling, artistic way to get people to look at the issue of vacant and abandoned buildings in a different manner.
So the idea, and Adam, let's talk to you. So how did you want to set this up, and what did you envision?
Well, when Barb and I first came together to work out an idea, we decided to focus on what we thought of as both an asset and a detriment to the region. The asset being the history of lighting technology, the first light bulb being manufactured at GE,
yes.
What's happening at the Lighting Research Center now at RPI. And if we were to be honest with ourselves about a detriment, it would have to be vacancy. We have upward 2,500 vacant buildings in the capital region. So from that, we began to build the project, which was to use the buildings as a site where a light effect would take place. And then I think at that point, it got handed a little bit over to me as the artist to figure out what that light effect would be. If the lights were just on, you wouldn't really notice much of anything different.
Right.
So the idea that they would change in some ways, and the way that we decided that they would change is that they would appear to be breathing.
Hence, breathing lights. So how do you simulate that with light? So with each beat, there is the light goes to what I would assume is a normal heartbeat.
Well, this is it's a breathing rate, and this is where the kind of magic of metaphor happens, where you're trying to translate something, in this case, that's physical or experiential into something that's visual.
Yes.
So you start with figuring out, you know, like how fast does it go? How intense does it get? And then you just try it out. You know, we spent months with the Lighting Research Center using strip LED lights and a programmable circuit board, loading it with different breathing effects, and then it looked perfectly fine from 10 feet away. And then when we went outside to put it on the buildings, it was invisible. So then you recalibrate again, because of course when you try to do this within an urban landscape,
right,
you're competing with a lot of other things. There's a lot of light pollution. There's a lot of moving light. There's a lot of ambient light, and so it was just constant modification based on what would look best in the neighborhoods itself.
So if I'm looking at one of the vacant properties that has this, would it be immediately obvious to me, I guess, even if I knew that is what it is, that it's a breathing effect?
Yeah, it's a good question, because at first we had the rate so slow that you could almost easily miss it even if you were walking by. And then we came to realize it had to be sped up to the point that at any moment that you're looking at it, you see a rate of change happening. Of course, it couldn't be so fast that it seemed panicked.
Right.
So there was a very careful balance between enough change that you recognize something happening, but not so much that it felt like the building was breathing too quickly.
You always wanted it to be just visual. There was never an idea to have a beat or something that would be associated with it.
At the beginning, there were a million ideas, but logistics played a big part. And to be perfectly honest, once we saw the effect on a prototype building, I think we realized that's it. That's enough. Like, it really holds its own. Also, I think it's important to note that the color of the light is very incandescent, and so it looks like other windows that are lit around itself. So it needed to fit into the fabric of the urban surrounding where it was, as opposed to oppose it, if that makes sense.
It does. So the closest proximity from one building to the other is?
Next door.
Okay. And so are they at the same rate where they're breathing together, or are they on a different cycle?
So again, this is a great question. I formed an artistic review committee based on Judy's suggestion that would help me come up with an answer for some of these questions. And it was decided at one point that there was something maybe slightly totalitarian about too many buildings breathing together.
Yes.
So, and a lot of this project has to do with the individual lives that once existed within that building may exist in the future. So each building needed to have its own breath for that metaphor to hold up.
So the project has an architect, the project has an artist. What does the director do?
The director kind of juggles everything all at once and helps to put together what really became a regional festival of events over 2 months. You know, they built it and we had to have people come see it. So it was programming around the lights with tours, celebrations, gallery events, a lot of partner events. We've had over 40 events in the last 2 months and we'll continue with building reclamation clinics through the spring, which Barb is leading.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second. So how many spaces right now, if we were to go tonight from 6 to 10, how many breathing buildings are there?
Right now, we have hundreds throughout Troy and Albany and Schenectady. And at any given time, there's between about 150 and 180. The batteries that are driving the lights go out and are replaced kind of on an ongoing cycle. And so depending on how quickly those get replaced, you'll see about between 150 and 180.
And Adam, back to you for this question. But so once the if a building has 18 windows, is the light in all 18 windows?
Well, what we did in most cases is we lit the facade windows of a building.
Okay.
There are a few cases where there is a building where there are no buildings next to it. In that case, we would light all the way around. But in many cases, I mean, literally on the street that you're on right here on Central, one building is next to each other.
Yeah.
So just lighting the facade was enough to give the appearance that the entire building was glowing.
Now, ultimately, how do you see people, or how have you seen people experience it? I mean, you've mentioned special things, but if people want to go and they'll see a building, or they should see several, how do you envision that being done?
There's several ways. I mean, the first is to come to an event, and we have one more event left in the next week that the lights will be on, and that's on December 2nd in Schenectady. Come to an event, take a tour, be guided by the people who live in the neighborhoods and who know the history of some of these buildings, and also have a vision for what redevelopment looks like in these communities. That was always our first kind of invitation to people. Secondly, go out and explore. There are maps online. We had program guides that were available in newspaper boxes throughout the region. The maps suggest routes that you can take, and we have one driving route listed on our website, as well as some key intersections you can start your exploration from in each city.
By the way, the website is breathinglights.com, breathinglights.com in Albany, Schenectady, and Troy. So next up for this is this conversation will continue, Barb.
Absolutely. There are this is, you know, we're not creating a wheel here. We're kind of riding a wave. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of policy discussion right now, a lot of research going on, legislators and lawmakers looking at financial regulations and all of the, you know, all of the reasons that this many buildings have become vacant in the first place, how to stop the flow of more vacancy and abandonment, and how to invest properly in revitalization of our community. So we're going to take that conversation through with some policy work. And in April, we'll culminate with a finale where we present different panelists and also intersperse the policy talk with a lot of the local art that's been generated in response to the Breathing Lights.
Give us a sense of, when you say policy, what you mean by that, of a type of policy that you're looking at and considering.
Well, maybe just the simplest thing is that some of our municipalities for decades have required that a building, that an owner be delinquent on their taxes for 3 years before a foreclosure can happen. 3 years is an awful long time to live next to a vacant building, to, you know, fight your own insurance issues. And so a lot of our municipalities, just at the most local level, local policy, that's the easiest example to cite.
One of many. And as you mentioned, there certainly are other, there's at least one opportunity for an event, and then, of course, opportunities over the holiday weekend to go out and explore and to see this.
Yes, absolutely. This is the last week that the lights will be on. They're on again 6 to 10 p.m. nightly. And, you know, take your guest, your out-of-town guest, take a driving route that from our website and go out and see them. Or join us next Friday on the 2nd in Schenectady for a reception. Both Barb and Adam will be talking about the work. And it is an exhibition about the behind the scenes of the making of and the sighting of Breathing Lights with many of the people in the neighborhood in Schenectady who were involved.
Very cool. Well, you can find out more. As I mentioned, the website is breathinglights.com, breathinglights.com. Barb, Adam, Judy, thank you very much. Have a lovely Thanksgiving, and I appreciate you doing this great work and for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.